And welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman, and this is the program that focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. On today's program, we are going to be playing all big choir music, the wonderful church music sung by majestic choirs from all over the world. I'm so glad you're here. Let's listen to a great, great song in a choir rendition, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless it. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
everybody, that song that says, "Great is thy faithfulness." God is faithful, meaning he never lies. He's always there. He always does what he says he's going to do according to his word. He is always who he says he is. You can trust him. Let's continue with another great hymn. And I want to tell you about this hymn. So the oldest hymn, I was doing research online, in the entire world that we have recorded, obviously there may have been older hymns. I'm going to spell it because I can't say it. It's O-X-Y-R-H-Y-N-C-H-U-S. And on a website, earlychristianhistory.org, I'm going to read you a little bit about it. This hymn, it says the name, is an ancient Egyptian town situated about 100 miles southwest of Cairo. During the season of 1896-1897, two young archaeologists, B.P. Grinfell and A.S. Hunt from Queen's College in Oxford, England, found a huge ancient garbage dump at this place, it says it again, that was to yield over the next 100 years the largest collection of potpourri ever found. It would be like text. The blank, I can't, it's again, it's O-X-Y-R-H-Y-N-C-H-I-A-N-S, like people in our day threw away their papers and they useless records, bank statements, tax records, receipts, invoices, correspondence on all matter, military, religious, political, and economic. The hot desert sands and climates preserved all of these for thousands of years. So we know the intimate details of their lives from the time of the Greek, Romans, Byzantiums. Most of the manuscript fragments date from 100 to 450 A.D. Now, think about that for a minute. This is an old, old hymn, and I'm going to play the choir version in a minute, but I want to read to you the lyrics. Here are the lyrics about this hymn. The words as they translate it. Again, one of these, I'm going to read a little bit more about it. One of these papyrus discovered in 1918 and published in 1922 has what is considered the oldest known Christian hymn, Papyrus 1786, now in the rooms of Sackler Library in Oxford. Written in Greek and containing both lyrics and musical notes, it is dated 260 AD. So it is a very early example of how Christians in the early church praise the Lord in music. The translation to English from the Greek of this hymn comes from M.L. West. And here's what the lyrics mean you're going to listen to. Let it be silent. Let the luminous stars not shine. Let the wind and all the noisy rivers die down. And as we hymn the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all the powers add Amen, Amen. Empire, praise always, and glory to God, the sole giver of good things. Amen, Amen. Well, let's listen to that hymn right now, the oldest hymn that has been found in the history of the modern church. Sometimes we get really worked up and upset, and we're all riled up inside. We've all been there. It seems overwhelming. It's heavy, and we just are so focused on our situation. There's a verse in Psalm 46 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." The idea of just be still and focus on who really is in control. Whatever it is we're overwhelmed about, yes, that is powerful, but we need to remember who is more powerful, and that is the Lord. We just need to be still and focus on Him.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Alice Cloud. I'm come from the Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. My Indian name is Nihanajinwiga, which means woman standing on water. I'm very grateful that you've come today across precious testimonies to hear testimonies of peoples of many different color. And I'm here to share with you today that you've come across by no mistake by visiting this website about the Native American people. And as Native people, believe it or not, we have Jesus Christ in our lives. And Precious Testimonies was gracious enough to come and to record a special guest that we have. His name is Frank Davis. He stems from the Saginaw Chippewa tribe in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he's going to give his testimony of how the Lord pulled him out of alcoholism. Alcoholism is a plague with all Native nations in the United States and Canada. And Frank will give his testimony on how he overcame through the Holy Spirit to bring hope to all of us who seek the Lord. And we just praise God for Frank. So I bring you Frank Davis.
I am Frank Davis from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I am a Chippewa, full-blooded Chippewa Indian from the Chippewa tribe of Michigan. And I'm thankful for this day to have this come down here to give a testimony of what God can do for a person that will turn their lives over to Him. I was such a sinner, man. Of course, I was raised by a Christian mother. But I still went out and done wrong. And my mother prayed and prayed for me, but I wouldn't listen. I said, Mom, I'm having such a wonderful time. This before I got to know the Lord. I'm having such a wonderful time. I thought I was, but one time, she prayed for me so much, kept praying. And she had a brother, too. She prayed for him to have a sewing on, have my fun. And then once in a while, my mother would talk to me, and I'd laugh. Ma, I'm having too much fun. At the time, I thought I was. But in the meantime, I went on doing my thing, and all doing things I shouldn't do. I drank a lot. I did finally get a job, and I worked for General Motors. But I still kept drinking. I couldn't stop. And my mother kept praying. And one day, I was out, got drunk. I caused a three-car crash. The priest came to my house, served me with a warrant. I said, okay. I had to go before the judge. I did lose my license, a restricted license. I couldn't do anything but drive to work and back. I still went on and got drunk. And yet, I still went up to the Lord. But when I caused this big accident, and almost lost my life, then I remember my mother's word. Son, will you look to the Lord? I said, yes, I'm going to do it, Ma. And one time, I got so drunk, dope and everything too. But anyway, I went to her house. I said, Ma, I am drunk, been dope. But see, you know, I would like to maybe try the Lord, and make her happy. So there was a revival going at the church she went to. And I went there, and lo and behold, if the man wasn't preaching on what I would like to hear, he preached, God can forgive. He loves to forgive people. No matter how much sin you've done, God's able to forgive. And I'm listening to him. And he done the same thing. He said, there is a hellfire out there. Of course, a lot of people don't believe it, but he said, there is. Read the word. So I said, well, yes, I can't believe it. There is, because I'm going through so much hell now. But I'd like to thought that over. No. I thought, well, yes, I do. Do want to get saved. So anyway, he gave an altar call. We got done preaching, and I'm about in tears, because I thought I was ashamed to cry in public. But when tears started rolling, I thought he gave an altar call. So I go to the altar, and I went up to the altar, and the people start gathering around me, and they started praying, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm crying my heart out, Lord, Lord, I feel like crying. I didn't care how often, man. I didn't care. I cried, Lord, forgive me, Lord, because I've been such a sinner, and I admitted to Him, I've been such a sinner, God. How can you forgive a person like me? Anyway, I thought that way, but the Lord can do it, and He can do it, and He can do it to anybody that will look to Him. Jesus. Praise God. Don't have no drinks no more. Don't smoke no more. Don't do all this stuff. Now, listen, I feel good. Don't have no more hangovers or dope and stuff. Now I get up. Man, I'm ready to go. Can't help her. Friends, I can't help her, but I'm laughing because I'm in Jesus, and I'm happy in Jesus. That's who I talk about now. From that other day on, I started talking about Jesus. No matter who I come across, I told him to talk about Jesus. So you see, friends, I'm saying Jesus can save the body of sin, which I was a vile man, drinking, carrying on, and running from the law to us, eh? But when God got hold of me, took that all on me, and He cried, because I say, I believe now, He cried for somebody like me, a sinner. So I'm trying to say this, is God can do for you what He done for me. Save your soul. And that's what He done. He saved my soul. Who can you laugh about? Who can you talk about? Who can you praise? God. I said, praise. Now I'm praising God. I'm praising. And I love it. I love it. And I love Jesus. I said, Jesus is my life now. And besides, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Because now Jesus said, if you believe on me, you have everlasting life. Not just life for a little while, but everlasting life. And I have that now. So I tell Jesus all that. And Jesus, I thank you for the crying. Like you cried. You cried. And you cried for somebody. Now for anybody that would come to you to give their heart, you cry for them too. I don't know who it could be. You cry for them too. So that's what I'm talking about. That Jesus can do these things for you. I'm talking about Jesus. No one else. And I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. That's why I like to laugh and all that stuff. Because I've been delivered. And Jesus had cried for me. And then we said, Lazarus, come forth. He was you and me. Francis, come forth. Loose him and let him go. And otherwise, you said, loose him, death. Let him go. And I have eternal life because Jesus said, I have eternal life now. If you believe on me, then you have eternal life. So anyone that will do like Jesus said, come forth. If you're dead in sins and trespasses, like I was dead in sins and trespasses. But He told, come forth. And that's what He'll do for you. Regardless of any nationality, what you are, you come forth. If you don't know the Lord, come forth. And that's what you gotta do. Come forth. Come forth and look to Jesus. I said, and I did. And you know, friends, I'm so glad. Friends, I can't help it, but I'm laughing because I'm in Jesus and I'm happy in Jesus. That's who I talk about now. From that other day on, I started talking about Jesus. No matter who I come across, I told him to talk about Jesus. So you see, friends, I'm saying Jesus can save the body of sin, which I was a vile man, drinking, carrying on, and running from the law to us, eh? But when God got hold of me, took that all on me, and He cried, because I say, I believe now, He cried for somebody like me, a sinner. So I'm trying to say this, is God can do for you what He done for me. Save your soul. And that's what He done. He saved my soul. Who can you laugh about? Who can you talk about? Who can you praise? God. I said, praise. Now I'm praising God. I'm praising, and I love it. I love it. And I love Jesus. I said, Jesus is my life now. And besides, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Because now Jesus said, if you believe on me, you have everlasting life. Not just life for a little while, but everlasting life. And I have that now. So I tell Jesus all that. And Jesus, I thank you for the crying. Like you cried. You cried. And you cry for somebody. Now for anybody that would come to you to give their heart, you cry for them too. I don't know who it could be. You cry for them too. So that's what I'm talking about. That Jesus can do this thing for you. I'm talking about Jesus. No one else. And I love Him. I love Him with all my heart.
And that was Agnes Dea live, and that was from the Ukraine. It was a big Ukrainian choir several years ago with the lead singer who wrote that song, Michael W. Smither, performed it. It's good to be with you. We're going to be continuing through the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. We started our Bible study last week, and we're going to continue it. If you've got your Bibles, open it to the Gospel of John. Don't you just love choir music? It's just exciting. So many beautiful choirs from around the world. Let me start out with reading the text of Scripture, and then I'm going to pray. And please get your Bibles, your cell phones, and let's study together. John chapter. Now, if you're new to the Bible, always remember when somebody says John, you can look in the table of contents and you'll see the 66 books of the Bible. You find John, what verse, and what chapter, and then what verse. So we're going to be in John chapter 1, the fourth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, the second section of the Bible. I hope that's not too confusing. And I'm reading verse 1. We're going to go through verse 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let us pray. Father, as we look at John chapter 1, these first verses, would you help us focus on what they teach about you, and we would all think about not what our church teaches or what we think it teaches, but what does the text teach? Thank you again for the Gospel of John. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give a special shout out. I don't know if they're listening. Vera and Lydia in Akutan. It's cool they mentioned they listen to the program. If you wanted to get a hold of me before I get in the text, it's MATHEW, V as in Victor, ROMAN @gmail.com. So I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or Bible questions or anything, just drop me a line on Matthew Romano. Or if you're over in Akutan, come on out to Safe Harbor. We generally have service Sunday night at 7:30, 1 in the afternoon. Wednesday, we have Bible study 1 in the afternoon and 7:30 in the evening. And if you don't have a church on your island or an active church, so to speak, let me know, because maybe we could work something out to try to get a church started over there. Anyway, let's get into the text. As we mentioned, if you were here for the last program, we covered John 1, 1 through 5. And we pick up verse 6 with a brand new thought. And it's important to remember this was written the first century. There was a lot of different beliefs going around. Let's mention a few of the prominent. First of all, you had the Jews. The Jews were under the oppression of the Romans. They were teaching there's one God, the Messiah would soon come. Then you had Gnostic teaching. Gnostic was that there's this, I'm going to just summarize it, there's a secret knowledge. And you would have these different teachers that would pop up. All kinds of different teachers would say, I have, and they would give some teaching, and people would be drawn to that teaching. Another one would say, I have this teaching. So you would see this constant looking but never finding this knowledge. You also had, of course, the pagan religions, the Romans, they had, and the Greeks, they had Greeks, they had all these deities that you can see statues in museums today. In fact, did you know the first century Christians were called atheists? And you're like, atheists, meaning they don't believe in God? Well, in the prevailing Roman society, they were called that because we believed in a God, Christians believed in a God you couldn't see, the eternal God. And that was weird to them because you could see all their gods. Look at the statues. What we see next after he had set this up in 1:1 through 5, we'll do a review in just a minute. He mentions a person. There was a man. Now, we're going to answer this kind of walk through. Who are we talking about? Well, it's a man whose name was John. John means God is gracious. Now, this is the Gospel of John, and just like my name's Matthew, there's several Matthews I've met over my time. In the same way, there wasn't just one John. You had Jesus' cousin John the Baptist, and then you had Jesus' follower John. Well, this is John the Baptist, his cousin. What's unique about the Gospel of John compared to Mark and Matthew and Luke, he doesn't give much information about John's background. In Luke, we have who his parents were, how he was born. We see learn a little bit in Matthew and Mark, but John just jumps right into sharing about John the Baptist. Now, why do you think that is? I think you'll see in a minute. There was a man. That also reminds me that God uses people to accomplish his work. So, for example, I had mentioned maybe there's not a church on your island or an active church, meaning it's regularly open. And you have been listening to the program. You're like, hey, I wish we had that on our island, a real church, Bible preacher. Well, maybe you need to reach out to me because God's going to use you to start a church over there. Doesn't have to have some big degree. You just have to have a willing and desire and the right kind of plan, and boom, you go. Over and over again, we see in the world that God wants to use people. There's a verse in Ezekiel, actually it's in Psalms, it's in several places. Actually, I'm going to share one of the ones from Psalms. But here's what it says, just the idea of God using people. Look at Psalm 53:2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. So God looks down upon all the people. That's the way to say children of men. To see if there's any, if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Isaiah says, whom shall I send and whom shall go forth? And he says, here I am, send me. The idea of God chooses people to accomplish his work. But notice the next thing. A lot of people say, you know, you have crazy people. They say, hey, I'm representing God. I am. And they say this. But look at the key point in verse 6. There was a man sent from God. That begins to, or really establishes, that he's not like the other teachers. Remember I said that there were all these teachers out there, and people would run to this one and that one and that one. Well, with this, we see that he is the one that God sent. In other words, if you want to know what that means, like the Old Testament prophet, let me read you Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I just think it's important that we catch this. God, who at sundry times, meaning different times, and in diverse manners, different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The idea that God, in the past, yes, he used people, but the major way he communicated his truth was through prophets. And even though this is in the New Testament, John technically would be the last Old Testament prophet. And I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but think about it. The Old Testament is before Jesus. And really, John is the final Old Testament prophet, because even though he's in the New Testament, it's still a little bit of the Old Testament period. So we get that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Again, a couple things. One, he's a man. He's not some Superman, but he is the Old Testament prophet, and he clearly is sent as God's representative for a certain job or position. And as we get into the Gospel of John, you will see more and more how the things that he brings up about John. But let's go on. So he says, there's this man who's sent from God, whose name from John. So the who is, it's John. But he also reminds us who, it's us. We are called to do certain things. What is God calling you to do that you need to be doing that you're not doing? Also, it's real clear that this person, John, was sent from God. One of the things that consistently will happen is, and you see this in the, especially in the early church, but even today in the history of the church, but they would accuse and say, well, Peter and Paul and all these people, they don't have God's message. They just made it up on their own. And in fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you can turn to that, I want to show you something. So they would say, oh, well, don't listen to Peter. He just made it up on his own. And he had these crazy ideas when they go on to represent the church after Christ goes up the reign of Father. Look at 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So in other words, we didn't just make this up. I didn't just give you some stories. This is real. This is of God. In the same way, John was sent from God. He has the message from God. And that's another thing, is when we are doing things of God, it needs to be part of the programs of God. It's coordinated with Scripture. So if I say, I'm going to go off and do X, and it violates Scripture, well, that's not God's calling. I heard somebody one time say, well, he was called to ministry, so he had to divorce his wife. Really? That's not true. God wouldn't have somebody say, hey, divorce your wife so you can go into ministry. That's not doing it. Because why? It violates Scripture. So let's go on. So he says, there's this man who sent from God whose name was John. Now, so we know the who is John. Now let's look at the verse 7. So again, it's important to think about this again from the first century. First century, he's saying those other teachers, they're not sent from God. John is the one you want to pay attention to, and also the Pharisees and Sadducees, religious institution, which they're going to come out and they're going to set up to ask him and interrogate him and say, well, you're not authorized. No, he is, because God sent him. So we know the who, it's John. Now the what is he doing? The same came as a witness. Well, so he came, the purpose he came is as a witness. What does a witness do? They tell about what they saw or what they're testifying to. Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yes, I do, Your Honor. Tell us what you saw. And that's what John was doing. But he's not just out there witnessing to everything. Like, I'm going to witness to the weather. I'm going to witness that. No, look at what it says. To bear witness of the light. The light is capital L-I-G-H-T. So it's a specific individual, which of course it's Christ, but we have to jump back to the text we covered last week. Let me just review real quick. We'll start up. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word, that's another term for Christ. The Word was in the beginning, so at creation the Word was there. The Word was with God in relationship, and the Word was God. So this is, the Word is God. We'll get to the light. Just hold on. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he is the creator. He's the one that holds it together. In him was life. So what is in the Word? In him? Well, Christ, life. Life is freedom. Life frees you from bondage. And then he says, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. They can see spiritually. That's why he says later, you got to be born again or you can't see the kingdom of heaven. He's going to say that in John 3. It gives you spiritual sight. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. They don't understand. I was saying so much of what John is it's a challenge, the gospel of John, for us to explore and to learn and apply it to our life. Is he saying you need to comprehend this? Let's go on. He says, John's there, verse 7 now, to bear witness of the light. Again, if you have Christ, you have life, and you have light. He's there to witness. That's what he's doing. And then we get to the why. So the who is John? The what is he's a witness to the light? And then we get to why. That all men, how many men? All men, through him might believe. Everyone. For God so loved the world, he's going to write in John chapter 3, verse 6. In 1 John, a letter he's going to write after the Gospel of John, he is the atoning sacrifice for all. In other words, he's the goal of John is that everyone would believe. Now, does everybody believe? No. But that doesn't mean that God wants them to believe. The idea that only a select few are the chosen, that's not biblical. It's clear. It says all men through him might believe. Believe me, that's the result. That's why. That's the result of him testifying, witnessing to the light. He wants people to believe. Why? Because if you believe, you have what? Life. You have Christ. You have God. You have relationship. So believing. Verse 8, he was not the light. So this harkens back to what I mentioned, all those other teachers. There's people that were worshiping John, following John, saying he's all that and a stick of butter. I just made that up. I actually met somebody once in Turkey, I believe he's from Jordan or Lebanon, who they said they are followers of John. And even this day, there's a few people like that. He says he's not the light. He's not the focus. In fact, he's going to say he must become greater. I must become less about the gospel, about Jesus. So he's not the light, but was sent. So again, there's that he's sent out to bear witness of the light. He said his job is to bear witness, or what his calling, to the light of Christ. And he says that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we get this idea of it's coming into the world. Look at verse 14. The word was made flesh. God becomes a man. So what we see here is, number one, the why is so that all men might believe. Believe what? Believe what it says here. The word is God. The word is the creator. The word gives life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That he is the one we look to. Now, there was other people saying, this is the truth, and this is the truth, and this teacher. He's like, no. John is testifying to the true reality of who the word is. Because if you believe, so the outcome is, hey, let's have people believe. He's there to bear witness of the light. Very solemn task. So here's the question. A couple things. Is number one, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Now you're probably thinking, well, I joined a church, like I had joined the Methodist Church when I was in middle school, or I'm Catholic or Orthodox or Lutheran, or you've got your religious handle, and that's all fine and good, but it's not fine and good if I ask you, have you believed in Christ? And your answer is, yeah, because I'm a Catholic. There's nothing about that. Or I'm an Orthodox or a Methodist, Presbyterian. There's nothing religious about that. In fact, you're going to see the religious people, they are so against Jesus. They do not want Jesus because he will religion is, I have a box, I have my code, I have my area I believe, and I exclude other people who aren't that. Jesus is what John says. You got to believe in him. It's a person through him might believe. Are you going to believe in Christ? So that's number one. Number two, do you perceive that God has sent you if you're a Christian? Like, what are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm going to turn to, I could do a lot of different verses, but I'm actually going to turn to a different book of the Bible. Normally, I like to stay in the book we're teaching about, but it's the idea of in Acts chapter 1:8. Now, it's not being a prophet, but he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's the idea that God has sent you as a witness. Witness to what? Who Jesus is. And that means, have you experienced that, and are you walking in the light? So let's say you said, no, I'm doing X, Y, Z. I'm going where I shouldn't, I'm doing what I shouldn't, then you are not testifying or witnessing by your life that the light is real. Let me ask you, if God, and he does, looks at your life, does he see that by your life you're testifying? Okay, I need to close in prayer because I'm almost out of time, but this has been really cool. Let me ask you right now, would you believe and do you believe? Let me pray. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the Gospel of John. I pray that you would bless our studies every week. And I pray if anybody doesn't believe right now, they would put their faith not in religion or a church, but in Jesus Christ, who is the light and gives life and is God and is the man in the flesh. Thank you so much. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we finish this program, I need to take a moment and to acknowledge where we have gotten the music from. YouTube, I always take MP3s, but let me read off the titles and you can look them up. Agnes Day Alive at Festival of Hope, Lviv, Ukraine with Michael W. Smith. Next, Native American Frank Davis finally turns to Jesus Christ to save him from hell. Shine, Jesus, Shine, Big Sing at Royal Albert Hall, London. Let the World Be Silent, and then it's OXYRHYNCHUS, Hymn to the Trinity, Titus Granier. New Apostolic Church, Southern African Music, The Power of Your Love, In Christ Alone, Great is Thy Faithfulness. New Apostolic Church, Southern Sudan Music, Be Still. And again, I don't know if I covered all those, but I wanted to make sure I read them. We're going to finish off with a great kids choir, and I hope you have a great week. Come on back with us, tell your friends, and let's remember there is always hope in Jesus Christ. Have a good week. Bye.